Hello and welcome to another episode of State of the Nova Nation. I'm Eugene Rappe. He's Chris Stanziel. Chris, it's finally here.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Felt like a long time. Felt like a while. Before you know it, it kind of snuck up on us too.
I am so glad today has finally arrived. It snuck up on us so much, I completely forgot that I never deleted the Tournament Challenge app on my phone. The other day, I was receiving an update on it, and I was like, oh, I didn't even realize it was still programmed in. I didn't realize I never deleted it, and same thing with the NCAA March Madness app as well. Glad I kept those around, and I will be using them throughout the tournament.
Yeah, I'll be using them, especially at the office, because I just love how the NCAA just has all the games online for free streaming without any problem.
It is one of their best inventions ever. And now I have unlimited data on my phone, so this is perfect. I can just go right on my phone and watch everything today. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'll be honest. One thing I miss about being in college was getting out of that last class, going straight to the TV, plopping myself in front. Or, you know, one year I spent it at the Connolly Center in the Cyber Lounge playing pool. We had the two TVs going with games. A computer had another game. Then my tablet had another game. And then someone's phone had another game. And we just got to watch all five at the same time.
So you were forming your own little man cave in the Cyber Lounge.
Yeah, except it wasn't my own and it was in public space.
Right. No, true. I remember last year, I mean, I didn't have class on Friday, so it was good. I mean, we played on a Friday. We played early Friday, so we got that win out of the way, thankfully, and then I was just able to watch the rest of the day. It was perfect.
Yeah, I remember last year I had Fridays off, and then Thursday I was done with class before 12, so I got to see the first game tip off.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I was not so fortunate. I didn't end until 5:45 on Thursdays.
Unfortunately, this year I'll be at the office watching these games, but hey, you know, with the app, yeah, it'll be awesome.
Agreed.
And it's not like they're paying us to promote this app. It's that I just love the fact that all these games are free. You know, I really wish all leagues did this, to be honest. All leagues should do this. They should cater to their fans. But, you know, for all the things that the NCAA does wrong, I guess it's nice to see that they got this right.
Yeah, one out of 10 things. Props to them.
So these first four games, man, they've been pretty good. They've been pretty great overall. Villanova will be taking on a first four opponent. They'll be taking on Mount St. Mary's tonight at 7:10 p.m. One thing I love about the NCAA are those random start times, like 7:10, 6:39, 10:20. Right. They're just never on the hour.
Right. I think it just adds to the allure of the tournament, to be honest with you. It's like, oh, just random ass times. It's tournament time, baby. That's when you know.
So Mount St. Mary's, we've seen them before, actually, in our time at college.
Yes, we have.
We played them in 2013, 2014. It was actually the first year that we started to get good, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally, you know, even though we beat Mount St. Mary's by 31, it was actually the last time the Mountaineers have reached the NCAA tournament was that season.
Okay.
So now we see them again. And you know what else is nice about this game?
What?
It kind of goes full circle. Josh Hart was just a freshman in that game. Baby-faced freshman who put up a double-double in his second collegiate game. He racked up 17 points, 11 rebounds against the Mountaineers. And now here he is kicking off his NCAA tournament as a senior against the Mountaineers.
That's an interesting piece of information, my friend. Glad you brought that up. I had no idea he had a double-double that game. I hope that full circle doesn't end, so to speak. I mean, you kind of hope that he keeps going. I mean, I guess it has come full circle, but like you don't want it to like end. Like, oh, his career starts and ends with Mount St. Mary's. That would be absolutely horrific.
You're right. Maybe full circle is not exactly the exact language you want to use here.
But that is a good point. And I think you were telling me before that there's a hidden storyline to this. I feel like you'd like to elaborate on that.
Yeah, it also has to do with Hart. Mount St. Mary's is one of the local colleges from where he's from in Silver Spring, Maryland. And he actually knows the coach pretty well.
Like AAU or just from being in the area for so long?
It's probably a combination of both.
Okay.
He didn't really specify too much in the press section.
That makes sense.
I think the last 48 hours 3 different previews on this game for 3 different sites. So I've seen all the storylines. I've seen all the numbers.
Right. I mean, they're a 16 seed for a reason. They play in the Northeastern Conference, the NEC, as we like to call it. You know, it's got the likes of Fairleigh Dickinson in that conference. So, I mean, they don't really have that much competition. I mean, not to mention they are your typical cupcake game that you usually play in the beginning of the year. And they're able to build up a strong non-conference schedule from it. But they're always that team that you just see on your favorite team schedule beginning of the year as their cupcake.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were. Their non-conference schedule, they were like a punching bag to the big boys. Yeah. they started the season 2-11 in the non-conference late. They limp into the NEC conference play, and they actually go 14-4 in the regular season, run through the conference tournament, and here we are today. They're the conference champs. So I guess all those bumps and bruises serves for something.
Yeah, I guess non-conference, playing a tough non-conference schedule actually helps you, no matter if you're the cupcake part of it or if you're two top-end teams going up against each other in some preseason tournament.
Now, as everyone should know by now, because I feel like it's something that's said ad nauseum around this time of year, a number one seed has never lost to a number 16 seed ever in the history of the NCAA tournament. And to further reinforce that, KenPom has Villanova as a 22-point favorite to win and a 98% chance to advance.
Okay, I like that, obviously. I feel like it would be higher, but that's all right. That's okay. I mean, you got to leave a little bit of room because it's a neutral court, I guess.
Yeah, American University actually had worse chances. Villanova actually had a 99.1% chance to win against them.
God, I forgot we played them this year. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those forgotten facts.
I mean, Mount St. Mary's didn't look bad against New Orleans the other night. They were pretty good. It was a good game, but like you felt that like New Orleans was kind of, you know, beating them around up inside. But I mean, Mount St. Mary's, the main guy for them is their guard. It's Junior Robinson, 5'5". I'm taller than him. That's absurd. I'm not taller than anyone. I never thought I would ever say that. He's like Muggsy Bogues, and for anyone who doesn't know what that is, he was in Space Jam. So he Junior Robinson, he looks like Nate Robinson out there too, for a more recent example, just dribbling around like through people's legs, hacking up shots. He's pretty good, but if we struggle against the 5'5 guard, I think we have some bigger issues.
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot more tougher competition than a 5'5 guy who weighs 165 pounds. You mentioned Muggsy Bogues. Spud Webb is another name to throw out there.
Yes.
These guys, if you're not familiar with Bogues or Spud Webb, they were some of the shortest ballers to ever hang tough in the NBA. They were able to hold their own somehow.
Yeah.
So Robinson, you know, he's pretty good. He's been gaining all the attention with good reason. I mean, you know, it's not every day you see a 5'5 guy playing D1 basketball, let alone leading his team to victory with a 23-point performance in the first 4 game against New Orleans going into this bout against Villanova. Robinson's pretty good. He's a quick guy. He's agile. He's got a pretty sweet floater. He can't dunk like Spud Webb, but, you know, he gets the job done. And he also has a pretty good eye. While he drives in, he either kicks out to the open man at the perimeter, and he's also unafraid to take some contact. The small guy isn't soft by any means.
Yeah, I feel like that's a common theme amongst small guards. They go to the rim pretty with the best of them pretty easily.
Exactly. Like, he's just not afraid to go inside, whether he needs to finesse it with a floater or if he just needs to go hard with it and draw the foul, he'll do it. But it's far from a one-man show. Also, keep an eye out for Elijah Long. He is another special guard. He's a sophomore. He does everything for the team. He's a great scorer. He's got a team high 15.1 points per game. He's a solid rebounder as a guard. And he also dishes out 4.4 assists per game, but he's also really tough on the defensive end. Keep an eye out for him. Him and Robinson are a great 1-2 punch.
It's funny you brought up the fact that we're playing a team with a good backcourt duo, that we always seem to run into one. Not that Mount St. Mary's is going to instill fear into us like Cat Barber and Trevor Lacey did, or Shabazz Napier and what was his name? Cartwright? What was Cartwright's first name? I forget. Cartwright?
Oh, Kyron Cartwright. Oh, I thought you met the guy on UConn. Boatwright?
No. Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Boatwright.
Oh, Boatwright, that's who it was. Yeah, Boatwright.
Yeah, Cartwright is on Providence.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. So you had Napier and Boatwright. We always seem to run into one. I mean, it's still possible we'll probably run into one down the road, but it's just funny how we are leading off with a tough guard duo.
Yeah, and another thing that's interesting, this might be a game where, you know, we talk about Villanova being undersized or not having enough depth. They might be a little bit bigger than the Mountaineers. Their tallest guys who get key minutes are 6'8", 6'9", and everyone else is 6'6", or shorter in their key rotation.
Oh, that's wonderful. That sounds like UNC Asheville last year. We were actually taller than them.
Yeah, exactly. And because of this, we're probably breaking down a 16 seed a little longer than we need to. But all of this is looking very favorable for the Wildcats. The Mountaineers are very turnover prone. They hate going against teams that have a press. You saw it in the first game of the season. They played West Virginia, and they got absolutely cooked by Bob Huggins' 1-3-1 press. They just looked lost.
Yeah, Press Virginia, as they call them down there. I mean, yeah, but like you said, they're very turnover prone. Junior Robinson, he's one of those guys that he'll put up the points, he'll put up the numbers, but he's also going to turn the ball over a lot, mainly just because it's in his hands the whole time. So, I mean, if you can get him cornered, and I think Villanova will initiate the press early on, I feel like that they should run away with this pretty easily.
I think Vegas has them as a 26-point favorite, so they should be okay.
I think I'm going to lay the points there. I would not take the points.
Yeah, I know. You know, they can probably take it easy, call the dogs off in garbage time, and then before you know it.
Oh, true. You got to remember that.
Yeah.
That's what makes those spreads so tricky. That's why you can't really touch, like, early tournament games like that. It's just impossible to call.
Yeah, you get the giant spread, which sounds great on paper, and it looks great when the starters are doing it, but then before you know it, you have, like, third stringers in. And all of a sudden, some guy off the bench who's playing the last game of his career just goes off.
Right. Yeah. Knowing my luck, poor Denny Grace will have a wide open shot as they're up by 27. He'll take it. And I'm like, yes, Denny, please make a basket. And then he'll miss. And then they'll go the other – Mount St. Mary's will go the other way for an easy layup. And then I lose because they only won by 25. Benchmop does not condone any betting, or do we endorse it? Do we have to lay that disclaimer in there?
I think people know. I think the people know.
Okay.
It's a family friendly
establishment. Right. Yeah. Sorry. you got many other podcasts for the whole betting thing. Don't come here for it.
Tip off will be at 7:10 tonight. Are you going to be watching?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, see, I try to tell myself, like, oh, you know, it's a 16 seed. Like, it's one.
No.
You don't actually have to watch. And it's like, no. It's a 7:10 game. It's prime time. Like, I remember one year they had the game at, like, 9:50. This is just perfect. 7:10, perfect. You get out of work. You situate. Yep. You eat some dinner. You situate yourself. And you watch the game. Fantastic.
Right there. Yes. That 9:50 game was against UW-Milwaukee our sophomore year. That was bad. That was real bad.
Yeah. That's the game it was.
Yes, very late.
So, game's not that concerning, but it's the one after that. That can be a little concerning. Probably more so just because we've been traumatized. We've been traumatized in recent years when it comes around to the round of 32. Even just saying that just kind of makes me sick.
Yeah, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
So, when Villanova advances, because they should, because a 16 seed has never been a 1 seed, they will take on Wisconsin, the 8 seed, or the number 9 seed, Virginia Tech, out of the ACC. Chris, which one of these is most which one are you most concerned for?
Yeah, I talked about it a lot in the last podcast, last episode. I mean, Wisconsin's got to be the one that concerns you the most. 25-9, but I personally feel like they're better than what their record show. Some of their notable wins this year, they beat Marquette, which is a budding rivalry over there, at least on Marquette's end. They beat Minnesota twice, who was a 5 seed, and Maryland, who's a 6 seed. They did lose to some sketchy teams. I mean, Ohio State, not the best loss, but, I mean, you lost 2 of 3 to Michigan, 1 in the Big Ten championship. Northwestern, who's a 8 seed. Michigan State's a 9 seed. Purdue, UNC, and they even lost to Creighton. I didn't even realize they played Creighton before going into this podcast here. They ended the regular season losing 5-7, so they're not a hot team, which is what everyone, all the talking heads look for. They always look for the hot team. Like, just look at Duke, Vermont. They've won like 20-something games, and I hear some people hyping them up. It's teams like that that usually get hyped in the tournament. Probably why Wisconsin has gone under the radar. And I think the biggest thing is they have the experience. They've been to the Sweet 16 each of the last 3 years and five of the last six. So they're quietly making small runs in these tournaments. I mean, they had Bo Ryan before leading that squad. So they've had some good teams with Kaminsky. I mean, they were in the finals just 2 years ago. They've had the experience. And along the way, Bronson Koenig, he was on some of those teams. I think he's the star player for Wisconsin, averaging 14.1 points per game, shooting 41.6% from the field, just under 90% from the free throw line. So let's not foul him, and 38.7% from three. So he's big shot taker and he's a big shot maker. Just ask Xavier how they feel about him over in Cincinnati. Nigel Hayes, senior, averaging 13.5 points per game, 6.5 boards per game, and he's shooting a cool 45%. I mean, his numbers have dropped a bit, but as a senior forward, I mean, you're going to kind of spread the ball around more. So, I mean, he's not scoring as much, but his shooting rate has gone up higher. I feel like he's kind of like Dante Cunningham in that sense. And lastly, for Wisconsin, as a key player, Ethan Happ. I made mention of him before on last episode that he was a Wooden Player of the Year candidate. I misspoke a little bit. He was a Wooden Year Player candidate. He has now fallen off that list, mainly because of Wisconsin's struggles. But right now, he's averaging just under 14 points per game, 9 boards per game, and he's averaging 58.2% from the field. And that's because he's 6'10", and he's a forward. He's pretty good inside. Might want to defend him. And he's a solid defender, too. He's averaging just over a block per game, which I know doesn't sound big, but, I mean, blocks, that's pretty good. And he's averaging just under 2 steals per game. So he's a long, lengthy guy who can get his hands on the ball, kind of like Mikal Bridges. But if there is a guy to foul, let's play Hack-a-Hap. He's not that good from the free throw line. He's actually averaging exactly 50%.
Yeah, I do like Ethan Happ. I think he's very talented. Nigel Hayes, to me, I feel like he's a little overrated, but I'm not going to say that too hard.
Really?
On wax. I don't want that.
I feel like he's underrated. Maybe he's so underrated, he's overrated.
Yeah, you know, in a way he is, just because I feel like he got a lot of buzz after sophomore junior year. But now he's kind of the third option behind Happ and Bronson Koenig. So I feel like myself included have fallen in the "I think he's slightly overrated" conversation, just because he's no longer as prominent as he used to be in that offense. But he's no doubt, he's still very good. I mean, he's 6'8". This is a pretty big team with size. As we know, Villanova and size do not mix. They mix like oil and water. Mm-hmm. They mix like toothpaste and OJ. Wisconsin also runs a very slow tempo. They like to prize his possession, and they're also very good defensively, ranking within the top 10 on defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. They're also a great rebounding team. They're going to limit second chance opportunities. So for Villanova, you're definitely going to want to shoot the ball well, take care of the ball, but also limit what they do on offense.
Yes, absolutely. They're kind of like Virginia in that sense, where they pride themselves on defense and slow the tempo down, but they're just not as efficient or as effective as doing it. But, I mean, at least on the offensive end, defensively, they're great. Yeah, they played that barn burner last year in the first round against Pitt, where it was like, I think the game was in the 30s going into the final minute. And I think Wisconsin ended up winning like 40-something, like high 40s, low 40s. So, yeah, it's going to be – they're going to try to push for a low-scoring affair just to keep it close in that regard. Said it a bunch of times last episode. They scare the crap out of me. They really do. This team shouldn't have been any lower than a 6 seed. They should have been middling in the Gonzaga region as like a 5 or a 4. Yeah, maybe a 4 is a bit of a stretch, but at least a 5. They shouldn't have been an 8, and this is just the blatant use of power by the committee just to give us some issues, just to prove it. I mean, I welcome the challenge if they do beat Virginia Tech, but we'll have to see first. Virginia Tech's very capable of beating Wisconsin.
Yeah, Virginia Tech is also another one of those middle-of-the-pack ACC teams. They got some big wins along with some embarrassing losses to go along with it. They're 22-10 going into the tournament. They've beaten Duke before. They split the series with UVA. They've beaten Clemson. They've also lost to Notre Dame. They've also got blown out by UNC. They've also lost to Florida State, some other tournament teams out there. Interestingly, and this was something I kind of forgot until I researched this team a little bit, Buzz Williams. I forgot that when he left Marquette that he went to VTech.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the big thing. He went there just to revive that program, and I guess he has. And, I mean, they're back in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, Marquette's back into the tournament for the first time since he left, and now VTech's back for the first time since he got there.
Yeah. Wow, perfect. Perfect timing. And they're both in the same region. How funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, they're both in the East.
Yeah, they can meet in the first ever 9-10 matchup in the Elite Eight. We'll see you there.
Yeah, Buzz Williams, last time he was in the tournament, he brought Marquette an unlikely Elite Eight run. I don't know about you. I felt like they lasted a little longer than anyone thought they would.
Yeah, they did. And then they ended up losing to Syracuse, who was in their last year at the Big East at that time. So that was like a swan song for the Big East tournament-wise. I mean, and that game was like low scoring too. That year, Marquette, like, I think Marquette was like the epitome of slow it down, don't do anything, let's play defense. Because I feel like every game they played was in the 50s. That's the Buzz Williams style of play. And I think they've kind of changed their Virginia Tech, though.
Yeah, they have a lot. Virginia Tech actually ranks amongst the top 25 in offensive efficiency, according to Mr. Ken Pomeroy. Love Ken Pom, by the way. Ken Pom's stats, ever since I've opened the door into this realm, has just like expanded my universe of college basketball.
Yeah, he's been great this entire podcast season.
Virginia Tech is actually, you know, when we had the luxury of having Buzz Williams that last year, he was at Marquette, they were a big man team. They had Devontae Garner, Chris Otule, very big man oriented, didn't really have guards. This time around, it's the guard play. The guard play, the guard play, the guard play. Virginia Tech actually ranks amongst top 10 in effective field goal percentage. And also three-point shooting percentage. You're actually one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, clocking in at just over 40% from the line as a team.
So yeah, that, I mean, obviously 40% from deep, that's obviously pretty good. It's killer. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that matches up with Wisconsin's defense. I mean, I'm gonna be pretty interested in this game. I'm going to have my eyes glued to the TV watching this, at least for as long as I can stay up, because it is a pretty late game. It's on right after hours. Get a little bit of a scouting report in terms of 3-point shooting. I guess Seth Allen would be their guy, right? Averaging 13.5 points per game, shooting 54% from the field and 45% from deep.
Yeah, Allen's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess he's their big boy, a resident big boy, along with Zach Lede, 6'7", senior forward. And he's leading the team with 16.3 points per game and is averaging 7.5 boards.
He's great. He's another kind of big guy that thrives in Buzz Williams' system. Also, keep an eye out for Ahmed Hill and Justin Robinson. They're a pair of sophomores who have just been playing very well this year. They're both averaging just over 10 points per game. They've got a similar play style in each other that they both like to attack the basket, but Hill prefers to shoot a little more threes than Robinson does. But they could both take and make the three occasionally if the opportunity presents itself. Right. Another thing, too, is that Virginia Tech, as good as they are offensively, they're not that good defensively. I mean, you'll see that a lot of their games have been high scoring. So,
yes,
you know, this is one thing to watch out for. You slow them down on offense while you get, you know, while you yourself gets going, and I'm pretty sure you'll have a pretty good day. But this is a team that, according to Ken Pom, is below average, subpar defensively in terms of almost all categories.
Yeah, that's shocking because Buzz Williams was like a real big defensive guy at Marquette. I'm shocked that like his system has like completely flipped on its head at this school.
Yeah, I know, right? Like I felt like whenever we played Marquette, it was always like a tough one.
Yeah, it was. It was your typical grind it out type game. It wasn't the type of free flowing offense they're playing under Wojo right now.
Yeah, it wasn't the run and gun style.
Yeah, Kate and Reinhardt. Oh yeah, sure. You can have 10 threes a game. Go ahead. I won't say anything.
Don't worry. If you didn't play, easily get 10 more possessions.
Yeah, it was like the Loyola Marymount system where they literally it was 10 seconds or less.
So, who do you have advancing in this game? going to play the Wildcats on Saturday.
I got to give it to Wisconsin here. I got to. I mean, like you said before, like Virginia Tech, they can beat a team like Wisconsin, but they can also lose like badly, just as easily, like because they're just so volatile. I mean, I feel like Wisconsin's a little bit more steady in that respect. So I'm gonna go Wisconsin. I just feel like they're just that just better. They're just a better team, I feel like, and we will see them on Saturday. Man, is that gonna be a fun one? Can't wait for my timeline of Packer players rooting for Wisconsin against my school. It's going to be a very conflicting day. What about yourself? Who you got in this one?
I have Wisconsin, but I would prefer that Villanova sees Virginia Tech. I mean, like the way that Wildcats match up against the Hokies, it just plays perfectly right into them. Perfectly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the way the Badgers are with their size, the combination of size, and you have a talent like Bronson Koenig, who's just so clutch, and they all have that postseason experience. They know what it takes to get those grinded out games, even when they're either the top dog or the underdog. So that'll be interesting to see. I do think, though, we'll see Wisconsin on Saturday, and we'll be talking about them on Tuesday.
Man, I hope we're talking about a win on Tuesday. I don't want this to be the last preview we ever do.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people have us going to the Final Four, even a national championship, even repeating, but I'm not going to lie, and I think no Villanova fan can lie in that, come on, like, you got to hold your breath a little bit when you get to this round. Like, you got to cross your fingers a little bit. Like, there's no way you're confidently like, oh, yeah, everything's going to be okay. Like, there has to be a little part of you that's a little scared just because of what's happened in the past.
I mean, it's yeah, exactly. It's certainly gotten to me, especially like this week. I was thinking like during Big East tournament week. I was like, it's all right. Round 32, who cares? Like, we'll get the Sweet 16, no problem. And then the brackets come out, and then you start playing through all the scenarios in your head again. And like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, well, we won the championship last year, so obviously we expelled those round of 32 demons. Well, I just want to do it one more time, just to make sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can't go wrong with a few extra reps.
Right, exactly.
Once again, Wildcats will take on the Mountaineers of Mount St. Mary's tonight at 7:10 p.m. Winner advances to play on Saturday in the round of 32. The Wisconsin-Virginia Tech game will be on right after that in the nightcap. So hopefully you all get to stay up late for that, because you'll definitely want a little scouting for Saturday.
Yeah, just embrace yourself.
So before we sign off, we actually have to talk about another team that's going to be playing in some postseason action. We've got a little more information now on the women's basketball team and their NIT journey. They will be taking on Princeton to start, and they're going to start on the road over in New Jersey. Chris, have you ever been to Princeton?
I have, actually, yes. I went on a I don't know what it was. It was like some leadership thing that I went on in eighth grade. They like selected two kids from my school, and I was so fortunate enough to be one of them. And that was the only time I was in Princeton. And I think it was held on the campus, actually.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how fun was that trip?
I'd say about a 3. The only good memory I have of that was Matt Ryan, of when he was at Boston College. Whatever game he was playing that like weekend, he absolutely torched everyone, and it was just great. I was just like, oh, this is cool. I get to watch Matt Ryan. Like, not that I couldn't do that at home, but like whoever I was rooming with was like a big Boston College fan or something. And I was like, oh, this is great. I love it. Like, Matt Ryan's going to be a great quarterback. And now here we are, and he's like about like 3 years away to retire. And I was watching him in his senior year in college.
That's pretty good. That's hilarious. I remember getting those, I don't even know what you call it. Yeah, I guess leadership camps or like program things are a good way to call it. We were getting like ads for that or brochures for that all the time in the mail in middle school.
Oh, well, at least they didn't come into your classroom and pull you out of class and like, yeah, you're going on this trip. I'm like, okay, thanks, I guess. Appreciate it.
Yeah, at least I had the option to throw it right in the trash.
That's funny. Oh, also another memory from that game, from that weekend. That was the year the Patriots were going undefeated. And I don't know if you remember, but they had to play the Colts, who were also undefeated at the time. and it was that weekend, and I was like, I was afraid I was going to miss that game. And the Packers were actually good that year too, and I was afraid I was going to miss whatever game they were playing. I don't know if they might have been on a bye. I don't remember, but whatever it was, I was not happy that I was missing football, because I think the like ceremony, like the graduation ceremony, was that Sunday. And I was like, no, I'm not dealing with this. I want to go home and watch football.
I totally remember that game. I remember that game in middle school. I don't know. I think it actually came a day after we had just won a middle school football game. And so we had the day off. So I got to enjoy that game right from home. And it was a thriller. And obviously the Patriots won.
Wow, lucky you.
But anyways, back to some Tigers and Wildcats. Villanova takes on Princeton this weekend to start the WNIT. The Tigers come in with a 16-13 record, not too far off from how the Wildcats did this year. Some notable games between the two teams is that Princeton actually got swept by Penn twice in the regular season and then again in the Ivy League title game in the first ever tournament. They also beat Seton Hall in lopsided fashion. They finished their regular season losing 4 to the last 6 games. Some key players to look out for. Bella Allery, she's a freshman, 6'4", which is mountainous, if you ask me. Mountainous.
Yes.
She's a guard. She can also play the forward position. Very versatile. She's scoring just over 12 points per game, grabbing just under 8 rebounds per game. She does almost everything for the Tigers. She can shoot, she can score, she can block shots, she can hack them up from deep, she can take it inside if you need her to. She's fantastic. She's from Maryland. She's enjoyed a great freshman season. It's only scary to see what she'll be doing as her career progresses. But also keep an eye out for Leslie Robinson, a 6-foot forward, a junior, interior player, averaging just about 10 points per game and 7.5 rebounds per game. And then there's Gabrielle Rush, who, Chris, what do shooters do?
Shoot.
Shooters do shoot, and she is the epitome of shooter shoot. 142 of her 185 shots of the season have come from deep, kind of Ethan Raggy-esque, but not as
That's pretty bad, though.
Yeah, but Ethan Raggy was...
It was 100%.
Like 4 shots from inside the arc, and that was probably because his foot was on the line.
Oh, man, I wish someone actually did some research into that. That would be pretty interesting.
She comes off the bench, and she's a bench weapon. She's knocking down just about 35% of her shots from beyond the arc. Chris, as you head into this matchup against Princeton, what are some things that stand out to you, and how do you think the Wildcats will fare against the Tigers?
Well, just in doing some research for this game, Princeton is a pretty solid rebounding team. They are out-rebounding opponents by an average margin of six per game. I mean, that's a pretty steep margin. I think it's mainly because of Bella O'Leary. I mean, that's pretty obvious. You just read off her stats, what she's able to do. And this stat right here should be particularly concerning for Villanova. Princeton holds their opponents to 28% from beyond the three-point line. That's not good for Villanova, considering it's pretty much how they score. That's the only way how they score. So, I mean, I'm sure they're going to game plan differently. I'm sure they're going to try and attack the basket, but I have a feeling they're going to just go back or whatever got them here. Just keep shooting the threes and just hope they fall. But if Princeton's defense is what it is, like as it was during the season, they're going to be in some deep trouble. You're not going to win shooting 28% from deep when you can't get to the line and you don't shoot inside the arc at all. So, I mean, if Harry Pareto wants to change up the game plan, I guess that's his way to do it. This is how they're going to beat him. But that being said, I'm going to give this game to Princeton, actually, because it is at Princeton. That's, to me, honestly, they're so evenly matched talent-wise. I think that's the deciding factor in this.
I think for Villanova, the key will definitely be trying to minimize Princeton from getting off to a big rebounding margin. We've seen them struggle on the boards before. especially against teams that are very good at cleaning up the glass. You definitely don't want to give up second chance opportunities, offensive rebounds. Very key to really try to rebound as a team. But we've seen them struggle all season long, so I don't know if they're going to win that battle. So they're going to have to be sure to be smart with their shots, hopefully take it inside, get to the foul line. Maybe you'll open up the three-point line later, or maybe you'll be hot to begin with right out of the gate. But the rebounding battle is definitely a key thing to get. I don't know how they're going to match up against 6'4" Bella Allery. She's really good. So definitely, you know, it started and it, you know, it begins and ends with the freshman guard, forward, whatever you want to call her. She can play anywhere on the floor. So those are their keys to winning. I don't know if they're going to be Princeton, though. Like you said, the home court advantage to the Tigers is probably what breaks this tie of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Villanova play tough, especially in that 6-game run that they were on. Looks like that they've cooled off a little bit, but they, who knows, maybe they can pull off the win. I just don't see it just based on how well Princeton rebounds as a team, and we've seen Villanova struggle against those kinds of teams throughout the season.
Right. Yeah, I feel like Princeton's two biggest strengths play right up to Villanova's two biggest weaknesses. The rebounding, as you said, and the ability to have a poor night from three-point land. And if Princeton's able to hold true to that, I think they should win pretty easily. And if they don't, I think Villanova will give them a game, and I think Villanova might be able to squeak it out. So, but like we both said, home court, I think that's what does it.
We'll certainly keep an eye out for them, the Lady Cats, and the men's team. This is a pretty big weekend for the both basketball teams heading into deeper into March. I'm a little nervous and excited and overjoyed all at the same time. I can't wait to get out of the office later today, plop myself in front of the TV, watch some games. I'll be, you know, don't tell my boss or anything, but I'll be streaming a few on my phone at the office. So... yeah, you know, it's finally here. I'm so excited. I cannot wait. I know it's only a few hours away, but you know, I'll probably look at my brackets one last time before I submit them, and you know, away we go.
Yeah, man, it's great to just be back with this NCAA tournament stuff. It's just wonderful. It really is. And it's just crazy. And I don't mean to get too sentimental here, but it's pretty crazy to think it's been a year since I woke up on a Friday morning thinking, oh, well, Villanova's playing UNC Asheville. Time to get ready for the Sweet 16 Elite Eight run. No big deal. I can't believe it's been a year. I really can't.
Like I said, if anyone asks me, I will defer to answer the question how far they will go. We'll continue to defer until a point comes where I fully am bought in to an answer. But anyways... You know, catch my preview of the Mount St. Mary's game on viewbenchmob.com right now. Keep an eye out for us all throughout the weekend. Matt Fowler will be repping us up in Buffalo. He made the 6-hour trek from Pennsylvania to Buffalo to cover the Wildcats for viewbenchmob.com. He'll be at the KeyBank Center all weekend long. So keep an eye out for his content, stories, whatever comes out from the booming city of Buffalo. In the meantime, thank you again for listening to the State of the Nova Nation podcast and for subscribing on iTunes or on Podomatic. Also, please follow us on the Twitter sphere at VU Benchmob, or you can follow me, Eugene Rapay, at eRapay5.
And you can follow me, Christian Dial, at the Stance Man on Twitter. I'm sure I'll be kvetching about both games this weekend.
The Nova Nation, enjoy the hoops, enjoy the weekend, and enjoy this for one more time.
3 seconds to go across the timeline. 2 seconds to go. Jenkins three, right wing to win it. He made it. He made the three for the right wing at the buzzer. Cats win it all. Cats win it all. Cats win it all. 31 years later, Villanova is the king of college basketball once again.